Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Flora Archuleta. She's the executive director of the San Luis Valley Immigration Resource Center. Flora, it's really good to see you again. How are you? I bet you're busy.
Very busy.
Yeah. How many sleepless nights are you seeing these days?
Well, sleepless, I don't try to take my work home with me.
Good.
Because I probably wouldn't survive. Yeah. Especially the times that we're in. So once I leave the office, I pretty much try to leave my work.
How do you do that? Because that's really a good practice that you figured out for yourself so that you can try to find some relief from that daily work stress. How do you do that? Do you just like close the door, shut the door, turn on the TV, or how do you block out?
Yeah, I've always told people that once I leave the office, the time with my family, and once I get home, it's my time. And people respect that, and they always have, so that they know that. I don't give out my cell number to people or stuff like that. And I practice that also with the rest of the staff. We do not take our work home. Once we leave, we're done, because it would really be a burnout, and I think we'd have really high staff turnover if we did that.
Again, that's a really good practice, but I have to say that given the work you do, immigration resource, you and your staff really are on the front lines of helping migrant families around the valley, around southwestern Colorado, settle in or have the proper documentation they need, et cetera. That's your world. And I don't know then how you can close that window night to night, even if you're not doing your work, knowing and seeing what we're witnessing in the country with immigration enforcement tactics and what we're seeing. And you got to at least, right? How do you close that off?
It is hard. I don't think we ever really truly close it, because I still watch a lot, on TV or try and keep up with what's going on daily, because things change on a daily basis. So I guess it's just, I can only consume so much in order to survive.
Right.
So it's like, okay, now if it gets a little too much, you're seeing something that's just way too much, it's like, okay, I've got to turn this off in order to,
Yeah, no, to have your sanity.
Yes.
And to see the world.
Yes.
No, I get that. And that's why, the work that you do, and I wonder about you day to day in terms of how you're doing, how your staff's doing, because of what you do and because of the nature of your work. Give us some perspective, because you've seen ICE enforcement actions for decades in the work you've done. Even before that, you understand immigration law. You understand what ICE typically does, or Homeland Security, and how they do enforcement actions. That's not new. ICE doing roundups, ICE doing deportations. We've seen that. We know that. And that's what they should do, right? Follow the law there.
Yes.
But what we're seeing now, Flora, is entirely different in terms of this ICE agency, this DHS administration, this federal bureaucracy administration. Is it different? Give us some perspective there, because I think it is. I think it's really bad.
It's very, very different. I've been doing this work for 25 years. And I've seen some bad stuff where people were deported, where people were even being picked up at one time, taking their kids to school. And we thought that was bad back then. And back then we did have the local police department, working with immigration to pick people up. And still people continue to be affected from that today, because some people were deported and never came back, or have not had the chance. Their kids grew up without their parents. And that we thought was cruel. But what's happening today is even worse, because we never saw where ICE went into the schools or places, broke people's doors to get in, arresting U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens were, never. And I think a lot of people believed, I'm a U.S. citizen. I can't be touched.
Right.
And now we're living in a different world where, and they flat out say, we don't care whether you're a U.S. citizen or not.
So, well, there was a memo, and I'm going to give you a piece of the memo. This was a memo dated March 12, 2025, that the acting ICE director, Todd Lyons, sent out under the heading, All ICE Personnel. And you've seen memorandums. Yes. We've all gotten memos, right, from the boss or from whoever. So this is a memo from the acting ICE director, Todd Lyons, to all ICE personnel, and it says specifically to that ICE agents can now rely on form I-205 to enter the residence without consent by necessary reasonable amount of force, that you can go into a person's home without a judicial warrant, just an administrative action of ICE, and execute what you think might be a deportation subject. You can go into that house, you can do that without a judicial warrant. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That seems to violate Amendment 4 of the Constitution.
Yes, you're correct. We've never, ever seen that before. When ICE used to do or go for people, they always had a warrant and presented a warrant, because we always had told people, you know, do not open your door unless there's a warrant, and people specifically, you know, they're looking for somebody specific. Then the person can step outside if that's what they, you know, in order not to put anyone else at harm. But right now they're not. We've seen people where they're being dragged out in their underwear.
And they're not even the subject.
Right.
They're making mistakes.
Yes.
I've seen where they've showed up in a person's house and dragged him out, and they just had the wrong house.
Right. And that's happened so many times, and where U.S. citizens there again have gotten caught up, or legal permanent residents. They're not even, I really don't understand how they're doing any of this. I don't think these people have been properly trained, and they don't care. They hired people that were only going to do what they told them to do. They don't care about violating people's rights or respecting anyone.
So in consultation then, in the work that you do, and as you see these tactics or you see these new ways that they are, quote, enforcing immigration law in America, how do you counsel your clients, people you know, people that use SLV Immigration Resource Center? Are you rethinking or having to re-counsel or telling people in this case? How are you dealing with that when you're seeing these new ways of enforcing ICE laws?
Well, it's really different now in counseling, and we have to kind of tell people, even if you know, because we had red cards that we used to give people to show that, you know, they had rights. Well, we know that they're not honoring any of that, you know. So people are afraid. And what we tell people is, even if you tell them you're a U.S. citizen, show them your work authorization card, your legal permanent resident card, or any kind of ID, does not mean that they're not going to, you know, detain you. So more we're preparing people. It's like, what happens if you are detained? You have to be prepared. So we've been doing a lot of like power of attorneys for people with their kids or their property, mm-hmm. you know, to do that, because it's better to be prepared in the climate that we're in than not, because we don't know that they're going to honor, well, they're not honoring anything. So we're living in a world that we don't know from day to day really what's going to happen.
What I wonder, too, when I think about your office and some of your staff, is whether you even have to warn your staff of how to conduct themselves, how to make sure they have their driver's license on them when they go for a walk down the street, because they're even targeting people that just look like that, that just look because of the color of their skin or because of how they talk. They might have a little bit of an accent. I have an accent. Everyone in the San Luis Valley that grew up here has an accent, but yep. They're even targeting voice. They're targeting that way. Yes. And I wonder, do you have to even counsel yourself, be prepared or be careful when you're out there? And I hate to say that, because we live in a small town.
We do. We have to be careful. And the thing with us, we speak a lot of Spanish, especially my immigrant advocate was born in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is was born here in the United States, but to Guatemalan parents. So yeah, the color of your skin and your accent are going to be, you know, so we are, you know, and we know the racial profiling or whatever. So we are very careful, and our office is always, we don't like to put ourselves out there because we don't want to put ourselves in danger or our clients for that matter. So we're very careful with what we say. It's always careful what you post on social media or who you talk to or what you say, because it all will come back.
And we know that the federal government is surveilling people. They're surveilling them either by comments they make on a social media platform. We know they're surveilling them based on facial recognition scans that they're doing, and then in databases. How do you talk to your clientele about these types of things? Do you use facial recognition when you're opening your phone or when you're going someplace? We all have facial recognition, right, in our devices. Are we turning that on and using that? Should we? How do you see these things and have to counsel people around them, because there's so much now technology-wise?
Yeah, well, so we pretty much tell people you have to be really careful, because even if you say that you walk to Walmart, it doesn't matter where the post office, it doesn't matter where we go, there are cameras. And there again, facial recognition. We don't, everybody knows where we've been or what we've done. So, and the other, but the biggest thing I think that we counsel people is on social media. Because we know that people that have been traveling, they're asking them to give them their phone so that they can go through their phone and social media. And so it's very, be very careful what you post or what you, you know, what's out there. And then again, facial recognition. If you committed a crime, I had, for example, a man that just was going to go out of the country. He had a DUI, which is 35 years old, 35 years ago. And he was really afraid. Are they going to detain me? Well, honestly, I can't tell him that they're not, because I don't know. You know, they shouldn't, because that happened 35 years ago. But with what he's saying, that everyone is a criminal, or crimes that were committed years ago, they're still going to be held against that person. So we don't know.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's interesting, I think, for all of us, though, is it's not just immigrants, migrants, people that are in the country illegally, however they came in, that is the target. We're seeing just Americans as a target, that you could get caught up somehow with ICE. And I want to ask you, do you even now have to counsel or give advice to Americans and what their rights are if they are confronted by Homeland Security, Immigration Customs Enforcement, Customs Border Patrol? Do you feel like you have to start to think about giving lessons to people of what their own rights are and how they engage if they find themselves in that situation with a custom border patrol agent, an ICE agent? Feels like some of that needs to occur now.
Yeah, so I've never carried anything other than my driver's license, but that's not proof that I'm a U.S. citizen. There again.
Well, the real ID is proof, isn't it? That's the whole point of going to that real ID and that real ID label on your Colorado driver's license. That's supposedly supposed to say, oh, well, yeah, they're good. They have the real ID.
But from what I'm hearing, they're not honoring them. And from what I've heard from the Department of Homeland Security in some memos that we've gotten, is that they want people to carry their U.S. passports. Which is crazy. Why would I carry my U.S. passport? It's not something, it's like carrying your Social Security card or U.S. passport. It's never been necessary. So why do we have to prove that we're U.S. citizens? Before, it was, they were the ones that, if they were coming after you, it's like, okay, this is the person I'm looking for. It's not now. They don't care about who gets caught up on any of this at all.
You don't have to prove, Flora. You do not have to prove that you are a U.S. citizen to any agent ever.
No, and we don't, but that's what they're saying now. That's what they've come out with, is you must, you know, if you don't want to be detained or harassed I think if you don't want to, you know, be detained, I think is what it said, you have to carry proof. And so we have people that have told me now that they are starting to carry U.S. passports because they're afraid.
See, I have a U.S. passport. but I'm not going to carry it on me.
No.
And I'm not going to put it in my car and take it with me because I don't feel like I need to or that I should. I have my real ID. I have my driver's license in my wallet, right? I can do that, and I do that. I lived on the border. I lived in El Paso, Texas. When I would come home to the valley to visit, you got to go through a border checkpoint in New Mexico. And you roll down your window, and they see your driver's license. They moved you on. That's the way it worked. If they said, hey, Chris, where are you going? I would tell them, it's none of your business. Because it's none of your business where I'm going or where I'm driving to. And they would say, okay, and you move on.
Right.
Now, though, that may not be the case when you get to that checkpoint within the U.S. territory. Now we're seeing it differently.
We're seeing it very, very different, like I said. And people are afraid. And when you see even children being detained, that five-year-old that made the headlines, things like that that we've never seen before. So people are afraid. There's one man that's been in the news. I think he says they've targeted him or detained him more than five times. And he's a U.S. citizen. He's a naturalized citizen. So when you hear and see stuff like this, it's just... I think if we weren't living in the times that we were, I wouldn't believe that this was happening.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Because again, we've both been around.
Right.
This nothing new, immigration, custom enforcement actions. That again, we've seen that through the decades a lot. And some presidents, you see it even more aggressive. We saw that. We saw it with Bush. We saw it with Obama. We saw it with Biden. But done in a way under the law, under how the law is written, under your rights as a citizen, under the immigration laws. That's how we saw it, right? And at times we saw, well, that's pretty forceful, but it is what it is. That's the immigration law. This is different, is what we're trying to say, right, Florida? This is different what we're seeing. They're violating constitutional rights.
They don't care about constitutional rights, honestly, because in Obama, he was considered the deportation in chief or something like that.
Right, right.
But he did it more humanely. Now, the cruelty, now it's like, how much more cruel can you get, you know? And it seems like that's what they're looking at is every day. And I think it's just to harass and intimidate people. And they're bent on getting people of color out of this country. And, so I think to me, and that's my personal, is that I think that that's what their goal is.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Florida Archuleta. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm fresh eggs, dairy, and meat. Find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit elmasacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Florida Archuleta. She's the executive director of the San Luis Valley Immigration Resource Center. Can you imagine someone more busy than Florida these days? How many families, clientele do you generally work with or see on an annual basis, Florida?
We see more than 2,000 is what we see. But we also see people from across the state. It's not just here in the Valley. So right. I have clients from throughout the state.
Give us some sense of those touch points, why they come to you, the services you're providing and have been providing for quite a few years now. Just give us that sense of why they come in to the San Luis Valley Immigration Resource Center and what your goals are in that operation you handle.
So the thing that we do is legal services, immigration legal assistance. So we can assist people with renewing their green cards, which they have to renew every 10 years. Work permits, some are renewed every single year, depending on what category. We do family petitions if somebody, wants to apply for a family member. Consular processing, naturalization applications, DACA renewals. And the reason that people come to Immigrant Resource Center and travel, I have a one that will be coming from Fort Collins next week, but he's traveling because, and he's DACA, it's my understanding that attorneys are charging about $2,000 to renew their DACA. I charge $200.
Wow.
And so there's a big difference. And he has family here in the Valley because he was, back in 2012, he was still living here, you know. And so those are the reasons that people come. And then crime victims, we don't charge anything for our services. So U visas and VAWAs, we don't even charge for the legal. We do the work for free through grants that we get. Mm-hmm.
You know, the ag community here and the need for migrant labor in the farm fields of the San Luis Valley, it's always really been that, right, where we've had, you know, that visa labor that comes in, that migrant labor that comes in to work and handle crops. Did you see any changes in that workforce, reduction, size, anything, concerns when you think of migrant workers, farm workers, that workforce? Did you see any changes there last year, 2025, that summer? And what are you anticipating seeing or hearing about 2026 when it comes to agriculture being able to find that workforce?
We haven't been seeing a lot of migrant workers that used to come in before to work either for potato harvest or in the spring, you know, for planting. So, but that's been now for a few years. That's really slowed down quite a bit. Because before, I remember maybe even 20 years ago, we used to see 50 people, 100 people, you know, come in, you know, during. Now, if you see even a handful, That's a lot. So they're just not.
And you normally would see that. You normally would have a better idea of the size of that farm worker labor force. And it sounds like maybe, and I've heard this, that it's continuing to contract, continuing to shrink, because we know local farmers are relying more on technology because they can't find that labor force. They can't get it here for whatever those reasons are. We know that technology is replacing some of that. Sounds like we're seeing that contracting of that workforce, even in the work you do.
Yeah. So a lot of them used to come in, like I said, and they're not, I think, and also because it's gotten just way more expensive for them. Before they were able to find housing, you know, more housing and affordable housing. Some even stayed at La Puente for a few weeks or whatever. But I think the housing has a lot to do with it. And then wages, I think, you know, they're saying, well, you know, if I'm traveling, because a lot of these people, you know, they're living from day to day. Mm-hmm. They're not really, you know, so it's just gotten just much harder.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back real quick to September last year when we did see a nice enforcement action here. One of the smash and grabs that we've seen out there where they'll pull a car over, smash through the windows, grab the person out, and then move them on. We saw that here in Alamosa back in September 2025. Have you seen any similar type of action since then, or what's your feel for what you've been seeing locally when it comes to enforcement of immigration laws here in the Valley?
We haven't seen anything like that. We know that there have been people that have been picked up, people, you know, that probably had warrants for their arrest, or they were deported and came back from what I know. Or the one thing that we haven't seen anymore after Judge Amanda Hopkins put out the order that they were not to arrest people at the courthouses. And I think they've respected that. As far as I know, they stayed away from that, which really helped. I admire Judge Hopkins for, you know, doing that, because I think that really helped a lot of people, because people were afraid, do I go to court or not? You know, and it was like, well, I can't tell you not to go to court because that's something that you have to do, but I can't tell you that you're not going to be picked up.
I had a local restaurant owner in Del Norte who asked me, and I didn't give him any advice because I don't have any authority or any knowledge to give advice, but he was saying that one of his workers had a appointment for a court for his immigration status, and should they go? And I'm like, I don't know. I won't give him that advice, but I would think if I was in that shoes, I'm not sure I would show up, Florida. I'm not sure if I was in that situation that I would come out and show up because of what I'm seeing. And I don't know how your counseling or advising clients when they have an appointment that they probably should get to. They have a court appointment. Or what are you telling them? Yes, show up, or I don't know how you're counseling.
So what we're doing, anybody that has to appear before an immigration judge, we're telling them, take an attorney with you. Hire an attorney and have the attorney be present with you. Does, you know, because you're a little safer that way. As far as USCIS appointments for work that we know, where somebody has an appointment, say in Denver, or whatever, I've never had to tell people, you know, see if you can get an attorney. We have some attorneys now that we're going to be working with that are going to be helping us with when the people have to appear for appointments, you know, for their citizenship or for their whatever case that they have. It's still safer to have an attorney with them than them on themselves. And they are very stressed. People come in and we haven't seen that kind of stress before because we don't know what's going to happen. And you can't tell people everything's going to be okay because we don't know.
Yeah, that's you know, again, one more time on this, because context and perspective, I think, is really needed so that you don't create or you buy into fear, right? And you do fear mongering and you're overstating things. I want to always go back to context and perspective, particularly with someone like you who knows this world, has been working in it in 20 plus years. This is your life. You understand this. Give us some perspective of what we're seeing today in the current administration, the current version of this federal government, based on other decades, other things you've seen in the immigration ICE enforcement world.
Well, people are afraid. And I think right before the holidays, I think people were really, really, really afraid even to leave their homes. Because I know there was some people that were... people were going to go buy groceries for them because they were so afraid. We didn't know, and the rumor was out, well, ICE is going to be coming. You know how rumors get started.
Yeah.
ICE is going to be here in Alamosa, or ICE is in Alamosa. So there was a lot of fear about that. But then as time has gone on now, people are telling me it's like, I refuse to live in fear. I'm going to live my life and you know, I'm still going to be cautious of what I, you know, what I do or whatever, but I have to live my life. I can't live like this. And so even our ESL had dropped to pretty much no students right before the holidays. Now it's picked up again where people are starting to, it's like, okay, we're going to do this. And we've also have one of our classes we're doing at Tierra Nueva to make it where people don't have to, you know, travel to the office or whatever. So it's there and it makes, you know, people feel safer. So we're trying to do things that will people can still do stuff, but feel safe.
And how's your ongoing relationship? Because I know you have that with local law enforcement, Alamosa PD, Alamosa County Sheriff, other local law enforcement who can at times get involved. And I know they have their own rules that they follow. How do you think that whole relationship is locally, just with local law enforcement?
We have a very good relationship. Sheriff Jackson and I have known each other for years, and also the chief of, you know, in the police department. They have both assured me that they're not going to participate in, you know, going around and rounding people up or helping ICE with deportations. You know, if somebody commits a crime, then that's, you know, that's another thing. But they're not going to, and as far as I know, they haven't.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Hey, we really appreciate you coming in, Florida Archuleta. I want to ask you one more question away from this heavy topic, because you've been here a while. You see Alamosa, where you're located on Hunt. You're right there at the end of Main Street. What do you think, or where do you see Alamosa now progressively in terms of its downtown development, the town as a whole? Are you positive? Are you neutral? Are you a downer? Where are you with Alamosa as a whole right now when you see the things out there that we're seeing with the town itself?
Well, I've lived in Alamosa for almost 50 years. So Alamosa.
Yeah, you have some perspective here. You have some knowledge, and you've seen decades and different things, right? So where are we?
So I don't know. I'm kind of like, I don't like downtown. I stress out going downtown. I won't even park downtown because I'm afraid. You know, it's just too congested.
You know?
And that's my thing. It's I know we're trying to be a lot more inviting and stuff like that, but I just don't feel, you know, the downtown. To me, it's not even safe. If I have to go downtown, I'm going to park on a side street or something like that just to.
Yeah, you're not. You don't like the narrowing. No. What you're saying, the narrowing of Main Street and what that did on the parking part, and just you're not down with that. You're not with that.
No.
Right.
No.
That's why I like to test these things with different people, because I mean you're down. I mean you live in this community. That's why I like to get the perspective of Alamosans. What else are you seeing around town or just the community as a whole? When you think of Alamosa, and again, you're 50 years of being an Alamosan.
Well, Alamosa has really grown in the last 50 years, and progressive. I really like Alamosa, and I wouldn't have stayed, but I really do. I feel comfortable with the city, the county. You know, it's a welcoming place, and people even say when I have clients from out of town, they say, oh, I went to go eat at whatever restaurant, and they were so friendly.
Yeah.
So you do hear that a lot.
Yeah, my big thing, Flora, is I like Alamosa because it feels to me like it still has a future. If I was living in one of the other smaller towns that I see, not sure I would have that. But Alamosa, to me, feels like it's still advancing, still becoming something, still has a future to itself. And I can't say that about every small rural market I run into, not just here in Colorado. You know, I drive around and sometimes I go through New Mexico, sometimes I'm in Texas, and I see some of these little towns just withering. Alamosa, I don't think, is that type of town. I think it still has a lot to it that makes me happy.
It makes me happy too, because I see the growth. Like I said, I've seen it for the last 50, and I think Alamosa has grown in a very positive way, you know, and you know, continue even the downtown, even though I consider it not, you know,
you're not alone in that sentiment that you expressed about downtown.
But it is a very welcome, and I probably wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah, no, it's really been good. Great to catch up to you, and really appreciate all the you work and your staff at the San Luis Valley Immigration Resource Center. She's Flora Archuleta. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the Valley.